coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024, in the year of our Lord. And again, I want to thank everyone for your comments and your emails from yesterday's program. Very well thought out, a number of things. Of course, you know, next month I'm going to be down in West Palm Beach County. I've got some meetings down there. Yes. I'll just put a period there, okay? You'll find out more about this. We are now doing things, and that's part of today's episode. We're doing things for us, for the American people, for the average American citizen. If there is such a thing, I think all American citizens who are here legally and are involved and are awake, you're above average. And, you know, you ask... Man, I'll tell you something. I'll just start out by saying this. Politicians are delusional. Politicians lie. They will lie to you. Take this for an example. This was Biden at this meeting of mayors. And you know what? This was supposedly streamed 3 days ago. Now, if this is Tuesday, help me out with my math here. That would put it on, let's see, Tuesday? Monday, Sunday, maybe Saturday, who knows, depending on what planet you're on or what calendar you're using or whatever YouTube says, but listen to this, and here's the emphasis of today's program. We are in a world of change, a world of hurt, a world of things that are coming down upon our heads where you go to, I was at the grocery store, and I'm not lying about this. Yeah, not a joke. I'm invoking Biden. Not a joke. Seriously, I was at the grocery store, and I'm a creature of habit. So the same thing I bought at the grocery store the last time I was there, well, the time before last, versus this past day, was a buck difference, a dollar difference. All right, and I'm not going to tell you what it was because you don't need to know that. But the fact is, prices are rising. The price of milk, come on, man. Not a joke. Anyway. And for those not quite with it, yeah, I am invoking the Biden verbal meat puppet shuffle there. But here's Biden at this meeting of mayors. Real quick, it's about a minute and a half. Well, let it play for about a minute and a half. But talking about the economy, and again, the emphasis of today's program is how do you and I, just the guy that works, that gets up at 4 in the morning, and you go to work, I do. Okay, Eric the tech does, although he gets up a little
not
later.
Not 4 a.m.,
no. And you start work, and then you work until you can't work anymore. You go home, you go to bed, you get up, you do the same thing. You might buy groceries, you might have to fill up your gas tank.
I'll wait till the rooster crows.
Cockle-doodle-doo. But here it is. How can we even out the playing field economically? Because economics is really a driver, I think, one of the big drivers of the election cycle. And of course, we're in the midst of the New Hampshire primary. So, you know,
pre-Civil War.
Exactly. But in the meantime, we've got to get a handle, and we've got to get a leg up on our economic well-being. And I've got a guest with me in the green room, in a virtual green, that will help us do this, but help us understand what is happening in plain language, one of my favorite people, when I talk about the economy, I have to talk to this man because I want to know. I mean, I want to know. Look, hey, gold's $2,024, I think. Silver, $23-something, last I checked. All right, is it going to go up? Is it going to go down? Why is it doing what it's doing? Is it going to break free? Is it going to go down lower? What's a good time to buy? In my view, all the time. But, okay, why do that? That's a store of wealth. That's a defensive move against inflation. But I'm not going to take more time. But I want you to watch this. I caught this. I watched the entire thing, so you don't have to. And believe me, I wanted to gouge my eyeballs out. Watch this, folks.
Costs are down on everything from a gallon of gas to a carton of milk. You know, I mean, look, I was down in Raleigh, as I said the other day. I didn't pass by a gas station that wasn't under $3, $2.99, $2.87. I mean, come on.
Folks
are starting to see it. Today I learned the consumer sentiment, and you guys saw it, surged by 29% in the last 2 months, the biggest two-month jump.
Doug, when's the last time you saw under $3 in the glorious state of PA?
That would be right after the stolen election, sir.
Yep.
Yeah. And I still have photographs of that.
We got more to do. And that's not all, though. We're lowering the cost for working class families across the board. By the way, it used to drive my dad crazy. My dad was a hard-working guy, an honest man who didn't get a chance to go to college because of the war, but he was a well-read guy. And the thing that bothered my dad more than anything else, what I call junk fees, the add-on fee by a corporation or business just because they could do it. For example, we're going after junk fees like banning banks and credit unions from charging fees for basic service like checking your account balance. Check your account balance, you get a bill for $30. Come on. Or retrieving your bank records, $50. Some banks charge as much as I said, $30 to $50 for these services, but not anymore. For families like mine, that extra $30 mattered when I was growing up. And speaking of not being not fair, without the help of a single person on the other side, we finally were able to reduce the exorbitant cost of prescription drugs.
Yeah, it lies, all flipping lies.
He should take a drive through Scranton and see how much of the gas is there.
He can't get out of Wilmington or his beach house, so he can barely function. And even if he saw the numbers, I don't know if that would register. But look, folks, we're all in this mire of this economic stuff. So with me to talk me off the ledge and to help you and I not just understand what's going on, why it's going on, but what you and I can do about it. Whether you've got, I don't know, $1,000 in the bank or $1 million sitting out there somewhere. So Bob Kudla from TradeGenius.co. And folks, I want you to do something for me. I want you to check that site out. Bob Kudla is one of the, if not the most, one of the most intelligent people I know. And I'm not overstating this, but when it comes to what's going on in the economy, markets, and this is important, teaching or helping you and I make a difference in our own budgets, this is where you need to go. I'll tell you something right flat out. This was a game changer for me. And if it's a game changer for me, I'm excited to offer it to you. And this is not an infomercial. This is just a fact. TradeGenius.co. Learn and earn. That's a new mantra of mine. Learn and earn. All right, with me, Bob. Bob, how are you, sir?
Good, Doug. Thanks for the kind words.
Well, you, first of all, you deserve it. And you know, look, I've never been, especially, I've never ever been accused of giving kind words to people who don't deserve it, but you deserve it, and I thank you for being here. So politicians are flipping delusional. What the heck is going on in America today with respect to the economy, and what can we do about it?
Yeah, so
that's a good place to start.
Yeah, of course. Well, politicians are always going to only show the rosy side. You have to remember, too, I think we're all a lot smarter than we were 10 years ago. Nobody says anything anymore that can be then copy and pasted and used as an attack ad against you. So I never expect, Biden to ever say anything like, hey, we got these things right, we got these things wrong, because it's always going to be what these things wrong is the opposition is going to do, right? So you just have to ignore them. And, you only have to look at the polling data to know that people aren't buying what he's selling. I think he's at 33%. Nobody goes into an election at this level and survives it. They say one of two things happens. They lose the election and or they go to war. Well, he's now picking a fight with the Houthis in Yemen. And who knows, we pull that string out. What's going to happen there? But the fact remains is that there's no more easy answers in the economy. So I don't think I have to tell anybody the COVID response was a game changer. They basically lifted the cost of living. I think conservatively 17%, aggressively maybe closer to 30% increase in the cost of living over the last 4 years, which is really immaterial if everybody's wages went up that much, but that's not what happened. So everybody's in a vice right now, and you can see it in the credit data. So credit card usage is went straight up, and then it hit a wall because everybody maxed out on their credit cards. But credit interest payments that people are paying is at a record percentage of income right now. So that's unsustainable. So what'll happen there is that the banks are going to start taking some big default losses. They're taking default losses in cars right now, and home ownership will probably follow in a couple of years. You'll start seeing people default on that. But interest rates have been locked in for a lot of people, so I think the credit events are going to happen on the personal side, where people just simply can't pay the bills anymore. And
that's kind of bleak, right? I mean, the outlook is bleak in that area of economy. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So the way you look at the economy in the United States is that, you have government spending, and then on the personal side of spending is that you have what's called have to haves. And you have nice to haves. And in those camps, you have goods and services. So the area that's going to take an absolute baseball bat to its head is going to be nice to have services. Okay, so which is a very large portion of our economy. And these are the kind of things that I call, these are psychic spending. And what I mean by that is that you don't work to live, right? You work to gain some sort of satisfaction in your life. And so what I mean by that is, hey, you get to go to the gym, you might want to hit the massage parlor, you might want to take a trip, you may want to go out golf with your friends, you may want to take care of yourself, personal care, all those things people do, and it gives them some sort of satisfaction in their life. Well, the way the have-to-haves are growing in terms of your spend is crowding all that out. And when that happens, people tend to get very, very angry. So my view is that this is going to be a year of pivots. I think people are pissed off, and they're going to take it out on the politicians in November. I don't think there's any surprise that Trump just basically decimated his Republican challengers. We didn't even get to any primaries yet, and basically the two people that where I would think would be worthy competitors, at least idea-wise and execution-wise, are already out of the race. You know, Nikki Haley's staying in it because she's praying desperately that she could be VP. Mark Robinson, by the way, is the guy I want for VP. And so you're gonna have Trump now. He's basically unopposed. He's going to be going after the Democrats now, February into November, and he's one campaign smarter. So you're gonna see a lot of acrimony there, and at the same time, the Republican House is not going to give Biden any free pass in spending. So you're going to see a little bit of I would call it deflationary whiff there, because he's not going to be able to use the slush fund like they did in the past to provide for their base. And then you have Janet Yellen from the Treasury. She's been opposing the Federal Reserve in terms of the Federal Reserve has been raising interest rates and been selling off assets. They're trying to kill speculation in the economy, but she's been doing a trick. I'll try to explain it in as simple terms as possible.
Man, thank you. I didn't mean to overtalk you, but yeah. I was going to ask, because I did see some Yellen clips over the last several days, and I don't have a clue what the hell she was talking about. So, yeah, please translate for not just for me, but for the people watching and listening to this. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, she never knows what she's talking about, but what she's doing is that when the government needs money, they sell bonds, right? That's in excess of the tax receipts. So there's two kind of bonds out there. There's T-bills and there's T-bonds. So if she sells to T-bills, which are like less than a year, you're talking about 37-day, 30-day, 90-day, 6-month, those kind. The people that – the banks that buy those bonds don't have to record them on the balance sheet as a restriction. What they do is they provide their collateral that they use to speculate. And so this is why the market from basically November 1st up until this week has been going straight up. They've been taking that money – the government's spending more money, but the people who sold the bonds are able to use that money again. So it's basically it's like almost like counterfeit money in this system. Okay. And so she's been doing more and more of that. The term they use is she's shortening the duration of the bond. So all the bonds that are out there, she's making them come due earlier and earlier and earlier. Well, normally you have a mix. You stopped it at 20% of T-bills, 80% T-bonds. Well, she's pushing it up closer to 25 to 30%. And it's going to cause an inflationary impulse if she doesn't change course. And when they do buy the longer bonds out there, then all the banks can't speculate as much. So we're going to pivot there, too, where they're going to have to go back to more normal funding. And when they do that, then that means the Fed and the Treasury are back in sync of tightening, and it's going to cause an additional drag on the economy. But it, more importantly for me, it's going to cause additional drag on the stock market. And so the areas that have high speculation, and I'll give you a fun fact. So in 2022, we hit all-time highs in the market. Last week, we hit all-time high. Well, yesterday, actually, hit all-time highs in the market. But that's in the SPY, which is the 500 index. The 2000 index with 2000 stocks are down 10% since then. So we have basically what that's telling us is that only the top stocks are getting all the action. And when that unwinds, you're going to have a long, slow sell-off in the stock market. And that pivot's coming in 2024. Everybody thinks we're going to have another record year in the stock market because the government's spending more money. Historically, that's not been proven to be a sure thing. In fact, a lot of times it caused the market to fall off because it's crowding out. So that's the pivot of 22. So this is going to be a hard year. And so we're going to get to a point here where there's going to be like no good ideas. So the bond market's going to work against you. The stock market's going to work against you. We have geopolitical risks that we really can't even understand how that's going to affect us yet. And so the hiding places are going to disappear. And I know you talked about gold and silver in your intro. Until the Fed and the Treasury are in sync in terms of spending, is gold and silver and Bitcoin are going to suffer here. Okay. Now, I'm not saying they're going to crash. It's just that they're not going to go anywhere. And so they have to wait until the government freaks out enough about economic, hardship to start throwing money at the system. And then those are the areas that are going to do really well.
Since you brought that up, I just have, I don't know if you can dust off your crystal ball. Not really, because, again, you're one of the most intelligent economists people I know. I watched a video that explained that, hey, you know what, gold, for example, could it, well, the question was, could it reach the lows that it reached some time ago, you know, the 1600, 1700, 1800 lows. And the same with silver. The question was posited, and there was some discussion. Could we see that happen again, based on what you're saying, or do you see it, the bumps down being not quite as significant?
Yeah, what I'll say is that gold, silver, and Bitcoin won't fall at percentage terms as much as the stock market will.
Okay.
So I don't expect crashes in those markets. I think all those asset classes are in what they call strong hands right now. You know, when you trade, there's weak hands and strong hands. Strong hands are people that, like yourself, you've been accumulating gold and silver for a long time. You're not gonna sell it even if it goes down 20%, right? So
correct.
You have more of those kind of people. Same with Bitcoin. Bitcoin is what's called the low float. A lot of strong hands in there. They'll fight these moves down. Same with silver. And silver and natural gas are the two most undervalued assets out there. So they'll hold. They'll go down if the market goes down just because of the nature of liquidity. But they won't go down in percentage terms as much as you'll see in the stock market. And then once they start pumping again, this time they're gonna rock it because inflation is going to go with it. And people are going to protect themselves. Now, I feel the same way about energy. And just so people know where my head is, I'm not a big, and don't hate the messenger here, I'm not a big holder of physical anything. Is my view and advice I give anybody that listens to me is that if you have fiat debt, you pay fiat debt off first before you stack things. So you want to be in as pristine of a balance sheet position as possible. But you also have what's called leverage. So if gold goes up 10%, the gold miners are going to go up by 20 or 30%. If Bitcoin goes up 20%, the Bitcoin miners are going to go up 40 and 50%. So I like to play the leverage game. They're already holding by proxy the assets that I want to own. And because their cost is not, you know, it doesn't rise at the same level as the prices rise, so you can make a lot of money when you trade these in leverage. Now, it works against you as it goes down. But when you buy these things in an up cycle, you're going to make more money holding that. And the other thing, too, is it's really a practical matter, right? You can't take gold to the grocery store or silver to the grocery store. So those things are practical things for me. And I'm sharing it with you as a trader. So I like to trade these things. And I'll give you an example. We've made a lot of money for our subscribers trading uranium. Well, I'll never hold physical uranium, but you know, we've made 300, 400, 500% on uranium stock trades over the last 2 years. Okay. And the price of uranium has just doubled. So those are the kind of things that we do to help people, you know, understand that. Now, do you want to hold physical? Sure. I'm not against what you want to do personally, but from a trader standpoint is I'm trying to position my net worth the best way possible, and you get leverage with stocks that trade in those commodities.
You know, you said an interesting thing there, and I want to make sure people understand this. Don't shoot the messenger. You do deal in paper. And of course, to me, there's a difference between a storage of wealth versus creating wealth based on your tactics. And I use tactics deliberately because you know how the game is played, the financial game is played. You've got the bruises, you've got the successes, and you share that with people. And this is why I highly recommend TradeGenius.co. Folks, I do know people who, as well as myself, who have benefited by TradeGenius.co. The link will be in the program description box. I urge you to get educated. This man is giving some really cool advice here and distinctively different. And again, do what you want. Do what you feel comfortable. But if your mission is to create wealth, then you can store wealth, but create wealth, right? I mean, that's kind of what you help people do.
Yeah, and also, you know, we educate people, you know, and how our service works, if you don't mind me.
No, please.
Patting myself on the back here for a second. But what we've done is we've created some really effective algorithms that basically look at direction, momentum, and price action. And so it puts you in the best possible position to take a trade when those signals align and they execute a buy or a sell. And then from there is this really trade management of protecting that move in your benefit. So we provide those algorithms to our subscribers. They get access to them. And so you can trade whatever you want to trade, but every day we put trades out as well. And then we have chat rooms where people can communicate and ask questions of me. And then we have a basic room and we have an advanced room. The advanced room is like you and I are talking. The basic room is, you know, basically telechatting. And so you get a lot of education there. What we charge for the service is nothing compared to, you make one or two good trades with us, you're already paid for the year. And so we keep things fairly modest. You know, I like my clients to make a lot of money and I want them to stay with me a long time. And so I've been doing this now since 2015. So, you know, 9 years. And I was talking to my partner. I said, I think we're one of the few people left that since I started. So I think we're doing the right things for people. We don't overpromise. We try to overdeliver. We try to give you a good service. And we provide insight. I think people ask me, you know, what my greatest strength is, you know, is I think I have good insight. And I think I'm able to communicate complex ideas in a simple way. So we try to help people understand that. And a lot of things we share with people, people say, well, I've never considered that before. And to me, that's a big victory because they try to obscure things, you know, in Wall Street to confuse you. They want you to stop at the simple correlation when usually you have to go two or three levels deeper and be able to gain the insight to trade correctly. And I'll give you an example. You know, everybody just thinks, wow, the stock market's at all-time highs. I gave that example earlier. Well, that's only true for the top 10 stocks. Everybody else has lost money. And if you polled your clients that are listening today and asked them how their 401ks are doing, they are not at all-time highs, okay? Because the mix of stocks they have to own aren't the top seven, okay? In fact, you'd fire your asset manager if that's all they had you in. And so things aren't as good as the headlines will let you go in, and that confuses people. And they also make you think things are happening when they're not happening, just like your intro monologue and the interview that you posted. So a lot of things are happening under the cover. And a lot of times when you hear people saying things are great, that's when you need to be pulling back. Because you got to remember, everybody's selling something, right? I'm here selling Trade Genius. You know, you're here selling the news. You know, Wall Street's out there selling stocks to you that they no longer want, okay? And you have to have discernment. Because if they're selling you something, if it was so great, they wouldn't be selling it, right?
Yeah.
So you know, they're basically, they call it handing you the bag. And you're going to be left holding. And they've done this now. This is going to be the third time or the fourth time in the last 20 years where they're going to be selling you something that's going to cause a great heartache to you because you're going to be stuck and they're going to hit you overnight. And then they're going to give you a lot of hope as they drive the stock market down 30, 40% over the next 18 months.
Man, you just defined, prior to Trade Genius, you just defined my experience. Okay. And again, I'm not a joke. No, you define my experience, and I would dare say most people's experience, especially if you've got a stockbroker, asset manager, whatever you want to call that person, Which is why I love trade genius. You said something too that I can really relate to. When you folks go to tradegenius.co and get the biggest, best package you can get there, because I love to be able to listen to simplified explanations about a complex problem. And Bob does it personally and with a lot of gravitas. I'm going to tell you, you never make people feel stupid, and I love that. So tradegenius.co, that's the place to go. It's kind of my new favorite, I don't want to say hangout, but I'm learning a lot as I go, and I thank you for that. So continue, please. I didn't mean to take you off stride, but I just thought it was so important for people to know what you do, because I can't call Nancy Pelosi up. She won't take my calls and ask where I should put my money next. So, you know, here I am.
Yeah. So, you know, and another thing that people get confused on is that I used the Bitcoin, for example. The Bitcoin ETF was coming up, and everybody said once the Bitcoin ETF gets approved, Bitcoin's going to skyrocket. Well, that's not the case. You know, and not just Bitcoin, but anything. It's called sell the news. So we actually shorted Bitcoin, and we've done 3 shorts on Bitcoin and made our clients money each every time with a trade. So the other thing that we're doing is that, look, a lot of our clients, because we have a crypto room, we love Bitcoin. Okay, it's just that you don't always have to love it at the price, right? And so people who are holding it long term, well, we give them strategy on how they can hedge their positions. Okay, and that's the same with gold, same with silver. So those are the kind of insights and help that, you know, we provide people. But if you want to trade with us, you know, take advantage of it by Saturday. We put together special 65% off, Doug. Anything that is already bundled, and anything that's not already pre-bundled, you can use the promo code Winter, and you get off 40 or 45%. I have to forget off the top of my head off the price. But you got to take advantage of it by Saturday. And like I said, what we charge for service is nothing, and you can start off with very low amount of money, a couple $1,000s. You could trade. You could trade Bitcoin with a couple $1,000s. You know, you could just use the ETF, BITI, BITO, and you can flip those back and forth, and you can grow your account over time. I do that trade all the time. And, you know, you can start off with just, there's no commissions on shares. So you can just trade and you focus on percent gain. And next thing you know, your $1,000 account's $2,000. And after that, it's $4,000, on and on and on. It goes over time. So, you know, you can easily with a small account grow it. And the other thing I tell people too is a lot of people, join the service to create some supplemental income, you know, and you know, you make $100 a day in the stock market, you're making $20,000 a year.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't have to boil the ocean. You don't have to do XX speculation, you know, and you can carve out a few extra bucks for yourself. And so that's what we do at Trade Genius. So we try to go deeper into correlations. We provide you, you know, the analogy I like to use is that we teach you how to fish. We give you the fishing equipment. We put you in the right ocean, and then we give you some fish too while you're learning.
Which I love about tradegenius.co. I've got to say this. Did I hear you right? 65% off the bundles? Between now and Saturday?
Yeah, absolutely. You can see it. You can see the retail price and the net price on the.
Wow.
But the most important thing is just look at the cost of the services. It's really. People tell us we undercharge, but I've been doing this a long time. I make enough money. I think it's a good. I think it's a good price for both of us.
Wow, that's fantastic. So folks, between now and Saturday, I'm going to say between now and Friday, do this, okay? And you may say, well, you know, it's easy for you to say. Yeah, it is. But it's also a delight to be able to be a part of something that helps my financial well-being. And you could have it the same way. Again, because I like to hang with people that know what the heck they're talking about. And Bob is a guy that, boy, I'll tell you, if he doesn't, he's sure next to somebody who knows exactly what they're talking about. And I've had nothing but good experience with TradeGenius.co. And by the way, you know, when you start understanding what ETFs are and what all of this other this nomenclature, to me, it demystifies something that I think a lot of people stumble with. You know, it's like, okay, so I thank you for doing that, demystifying the playing field, and you do it so well. And I love that. So, again, I'm singing your praises because you deserve them, and you're helping normal people, people who listen to this show and watch this show, to get a leg up on things without having to, hang with Nancy Pelosi. So I appreciate that. I know you're a busy guy. So you just go ahead and continue until you got to bounce. So continue.
Yeah, so I think looking at now, until now, till Easter, the markets are going to become increasingly volatile, and they're likely to have some decent drawdowns in price action, and it's basically because of the derivatives. So there's a whole basically an iceberg out there. So you only see the top of the iceberg, but most of the action that's driving the market is under the surface through these option contracts. Well, this is one of the weak periods between now and the end of March, structurally. And if Janet Yellen has to change her duration of the bond purchases or bond selling, I should say, is that it'll accelerate these moves, make them more violent and volatile. So we're expecting the market to struggle between now and end of March. And then typically of April to June, the market lifts unless we've really fallen off a cliff here. And the thing that I don't know what's going to happen is I don't know if we're going to get an inflationary impulse or a deflationary impulse. I don't know which mistake's going to be made. I just know that a mistake will be made because they can't thread the needle anymore. And so that's what you have to watch out for. And depending on which direction it goes, there's strategies for each one. So that's what we'll follow. And the nice thing about this, if everything I said to you today is wrong and I'm 180 off, it doesn't matter to me. This is just my opinion. My algorithm will tell me whether or not there's buying coming into a certain sector or not. And I just simply follow that logic from my algorithm. And that's why we built it in the first place, to protect me from me and use math, because big money can't hide what they're doing. They're too big. So you just simply follow in their footsteps and you're going to make enough money. You don't have to front run these guys, and, you know, you don't have to follow too far behind them. You know, you're joking about Nancy Pelosi. You know, you can go 90 days before you know what she already bought. She could have bought something and be out of it before you know she even bought it. And when it shows that she bought it, you rush into it, she's already out of it. So the way they do disclosures is really a crime in itself. The fact that they do it is a crime. The disclosures is a crime. They should have to disclose within 24 hours. You know, like they have to do in the corporate world. Here, they get 90 days before they have to disclose anything, which is kind of a joke.
Man.
But yeah, so that's kind of the way we do it. That's our philosophy. That's how it works for us. You know, we have seasonality. So we know what should happen and what normally happens. What really catches our attention is when seasonality fails. Because what new happened in the market environment to cause, instead of oil going down, oil going up, okay, or vice versa? Why is this sector going up when it should be going down? And then you pay attention to that. Okay, what has changed? Because that's where you make the most money, when things don't happen that are supposed to happen.
Interesting, and that makes sense to me. And of course, guidance by TradeGenius.co. Definitely visit the site. Get yourself. I can't. It's hard for me to comprehend, 65% off between now and Saturday. So of different bundles, non-bundles, of course, use promo code WINTER between, again, between now and Saturday, for a discount. So folks, you've got, again, I'm asking you, because I hear from people who have, you know, they're not wealthy individuals, but they've got some money that they want to invest, or they want to make more money from that than having it lay in the drawer or at the bank. This is one way to do it. And I'll tell you something, I have not, and I'm being honest, I haven't heard one bad thing about TradeGenius.co. Not one bad thing from any of my the people I've sent to your organization. And I've got to say, I love it too. So in closing, my friend, in closing, any words of advice, any words of wisdom, anything that you want to just leave us with to ruminate about or to think about or whatever?
Oh, we'd probably be here all day, but all I gotta say is expect the unexpected this year. And you know, if you have a job and you're making more than you're living on, I would make sure that your debt profiles are such that you could survive unexpected income loss. Mm. And so I would be, this is a time to be defensive and not aggressive. And I think you need to be very careful. Politicians do crazy things when they think they're going to lose. And so, and they tend to, I mean, they're obviously very bright people, but they're notorious. So they're going to be thinking about their own self-interest, not yours. And so I would be really, really careful and cautious and just make sure that you're positioned to weather a storm through 2025. So, I think no matter who wins the next election, it's going to be a certain kind of hell that's going to come up in 2025. If the Democrats win the next election, they're going to transform the United States into a third world country. And if Trump wins the next election, the left is going to go absolutely apeshit. So it's going to be just, and this is the year for you to be positioned for that. It's going to be volatile. And you need to be prepared.
And we can actually, based on what you just said, we can actually, like you said, position ourselves to make sure we're not getting a haircut off of the markets with our 401ks, with our whatever. You'll help us do that at TradeGenius.co, right? I mean, you're gonna be with us there and help us do that. Help us protect ourselves from ourselves.
Yeah,
I mean,
we're in there every day. So, you know, we're watching, we're communicating, you know, and we have a daily podcast too. So if people want to go check out Trade Genius on YouTube, you can check us out there.
That's right.
We talk about what you and I talked about in an hour. We do every day. We pick a specific metric or scenario and we discuss it. So we help people become very informed in terms of the data that's out there and what data matters and what data doesn't. I'll give you a final example. Everybody's focused on the unemployment reports, right? Well, they're irrelevant. What's more relevant is the federal tax receipts, right? Because people can't pay taxes if they're not working. So federal tax receipts now are minus 5.68%. Okay, unemployment rate is at ultimate low. Well, which one's lying? Well, money talks, right? So the unemployment report is the one that's lying to you. And so if we literally were at full employment, the federal tax receipts would be going through the roof because most of the federal tax receipts are from income, not wow. from speculation. So it's collapsing. So what does that tell you? You know, they're manipulating the unemployment reports, or people are taking jobs that pay less that don't have as much withholding. So either way, that's the number I always look at, federal tax receipts. And whenever we go negative, less than 2% growth, you go into recession, and we are minus 5.68%. So recession's all but guaranteed. So no matter how you define it. And so that's why I said, just strap in. And you know, and if you're in an industry that sells things that people like to have, you know, instead of have to have,
mm-hmm.
then you need to make sure that your position, you have a backup plan, because, you know, you're going to see those services people are going to cut back on. And I already know it. My wife owns a business that sells services to the upper middle class. Okay. Her business is down 30%. January is down 70% year over year. So we know, you know, I have certain insight, okay, in that world. And not that people don't love my wife's services, you know, just people just aren't taking advantage of it. And I don't know if it's a Christmas hangover or something more, but we pay attention to these things. And so it's really interesting to watch. And she's been doing this her business for 12 years, and she's grown every year. But I think this year is probably going to be not going to be the case. So that's a canary in a coal mine to me. We're watching that. And then obviously poll everybody that you do business with and just ask them. If you always, you know, it's dependent on people how they answer the question. Like I asked the guy that runs a coffee shop on my house, how's business? He goes, well, we're here. That's not exactly, hey, we're doing great, right? So you just have to pay attention to those types of things, especially services side, you know. And then you want to be in the things that people have to have. Like my personal portfolio, we're loaded in energy, high dividend paying energy stocks, some healthcare stocks, and we're loaded into the long-term bond yields. So that's kind of how we're crowded into our long-term accounts. And then, you know, trading, I just trade what I see and in and out. So I'll leave you with that. And I think that's what we're going to be looking at over the next 2 years.
That is extremely valuable information from the first point you mentioned about the dueling figures between the unemployment numbers and the tax receipts. Something that simple, folks. You know, somebody's lying when you're down 5.68% in federal tax receipts, but unemployment, hey, it's never been better, you know, the employment rate. Yeah, who's lying? Well, obviously, money talks, BS walks, and there it is. Again, my good friend Bob from TradeGenius.co, please visit that website between now and Friday night. Take advantage of the specials. You will not be sorry. And if you are sorry, you get a hold of me. And I want to hear, but I've never, ever had anyone say, man, you misdirected me. And there is the podcast, which I forgot to mention, Trade Genius Market and Crypto News. Folks, subscribe to that. Not a fan of YouTube, but there's a lot of good information within those podcasts. Bob, thank you so much for being a part of the show today. I really, really, really appreciate you. I really do.
Oh, well, no, thank you. And tell Don I said hello, okay?
Shh. I will. My friend, thank you very much. God bless, man. Have a great day.
Thank you.
All right. And folks, that was Bob Kudla from TradeGenius.co. I'm telling you, look. We got to get that playing field level, okay? And you have to have the knowledge and understanding first. And I think, to me, the way I found it is it was introduced to me. And at first I played, and I'm like, well, I did. And then I started getting into it, and I'm thinking, okay, wait a second here. There's a way that I can be a good steward with my money. And, you know, it's not like going to a craps table. No. This is actually being a good steward, understanding the system and how the system is designed to keep you poor, and undoing that through TradeGenius.co. So thank you very much, Bob. All right. Now, you know, the New Hampshire primaries today, obviously, we're recording midday. You know how this is going to turn out. You know, in the bottom of your gut, you know, Biden, there is no way, at least in my view, Biden-Harris ticket will be viable for 2024. So what has to happen, or they've got to get rid of President Trump. Because their thinking is, you get rid of President Trump, you cut off the head of the America First nationalist movement. Okay, that's not how this is working out, folks. Because that would only embolden, strengthen, and enrage the MAGA, or the America First nationalist movement, I guarantee you. You want to see some hostility? Oh, you have seen nothing yet. Now, in the news, I want to touch on a couple of things. Yesterday, by a 5-4 decision, and there's some misinformation going on about this. My friend Jack Posobiec posted on this, about this on his Twitter feed. SCOTUS ruled against Texas, where the Texas National Guard, and you probably heard of this, right? The Texas National Guard putting up razor wire, and Biden's boys coming in and cutting the wire, right? And so Abbott went to filed suit against Biden, or vice versa. Really, it doesn't matter, because the appellate court upheld or allowed the Texas National Guard to be a presence of the border at Eagle Pass and throughout the border of Texas and Mexico. All right. The Supreme Court, now this is critically important for people to understand. They ruled only against cutting or the placing of the wire. In other words, the Supreme Court ruling this yesterday, by a 5-4 decision with Amy Comey Barrett, Jane, you ignorant slut. Again, channeling Saturday Night Live from the 70s, which could never fly today, right? The ruling only involves the razor wire. Nothing else. The rest is sent back to the courts, and then it will bounce back to the Supreme Court for a full ruling. Understand what's being ruled upon, as opposed to what you might hear elsewhere. Now, I do want to, I didn't get to this yesterday. Let me grab this here. This is one of the most important news stories of this decade. Of this, in fact, I would say almost of the century. Secret. Now, this is from Revolver.News. I referenced it yesterday, but you've got to get into this and understand this. Secret Service foreknowledge or criminal neglect? ? Damning new evidence surfaces in FBI's January 6th pipe bomber story. Now, this, I told you about
it. Was Doug.
Jeez, Eric. You're running fast these days, my friend.
I got wiry legs. I got hairy legs that allow me to run fast. No joke. Not a joke. Corn Pop was a bad dude. All right. But Darren Beatty and others, but Darren Beatty is running point on this story. And look, I know others have talked about this, but the can you scroll down on this? Okay, because this holds the key to everything, in my view. This story holds the key to everything. For example, you know, we've gone past 3 years from January 6, 2021, and the truth of what is really taking place happened that day has never been more relevant than today. You've got people rotting in jail. And yes, I'm aware President Trump needs to pardon these people, hasn't pardoned them, because this was a total setup. And you know that, but you can't say that normally without proof, right? So where's your proof? Well, the proof exists in this particular story, I believe. This is the gift that or this is the I don't want to use the term gift. This is the incident that will absolutely unravel the federal involvement into January 6th. Do not pass up this report. Let me see if all right, can you play, or do you have to have advanced knowledge? Can you play that video, or is that something that you can't do? Okay, folks, turn your attention to this particular video, and let me set this up. You've got to make note of the man in the backpack going up to the police and Secret Service cars. All right, now, we did Investigations 101 yesterday a little bit. Eric the Tech, let me ask you a question. If you find a body, you find a body in a park and you go to a police officer and say, hey, I just found this body over here.
I thought you were going to say in your backyard.
That too. Although,
if it's in your backyard, I start digging.
Yeah. Please don't look in my backyard. Again, I'm channeling Bud. Okay.
Or I take a 2-hour trip somewhere.
You mean you're on fire. All right. So, but my question to you, Investigations 101. If you go to a police officer and say, hey, I just found a body over here about 100 feet away. Here, let me show you. As a police, or as an investigator, at that moment in time, who do you like? Who is the number one suspect of murder? I'm just asking.
The person that said, hey, there's a body over here.
Abso-friggin-lutely. Okay.
Playing dumb.
Yeah. Always, always, and forever. The person making the report, finding the body, finding a pipe bomb, is never allowed to, just get up and wander away. You know that.
I mean, the majority of, like, murder cases on TV, that's usually the case.
You can
the person
watch
that makes the call.
Yeah, I mean, you could watch what is that show with Angela Lansbury, Murder, She Wrote, okay, and learn this, for crying out loud. All right, now what happens when the person doing the reporting is an undercover Capitol police officer and just asking? If that, put that back up there, because you got to watch this. Oh, you're going to make it bigger? That's what she said. Yeah, I hear what's in my ear, man. I'm telling you, you don't want to hear.
Got to use a tweezer.
Look, what happens when the person reporting the pipe bomb is undercover Capitol police officer? Now, what happens if you are a police officer, and those officers listening to this, if you're sitting in your cruiser, and you're also sitting next to a Secret Service detail while the vice president-elect, these dreaded air quotes, is in the DNC, right? So you're charged with protecting the vice president-elect, Kamala Dumas, knee pads Harris, okay? You're charged with protecting your charge there. So, what's that? I know. Can I? Okay. We're going to go into overdrive today. Why? Because I'm feeling good. But no, you need to hear this. Okay, that's fun. I'll talk. How long is it? All right. This is
only 7 minutes of no audio.
But this is so critically important here. Okay. Go ahead and put this up, and I will narrate this, because, folks, you've got to understand what is happening here. And before you put that up, what are the chances of two pipe bombs one exposed in an well exposed in an area, a high foot traffic area at the DNC. I mean, the only thing missing was an arrow pointing down. Okay. Sitting there for almost 17 hours. What are the chances of that? And not being found, placed there on January 5th, 2021. Only to be found by what? Within a very, very strategic time, minutes, about 20 minutes or so, before the first Capitol breach, okay? What are the chances of not just one pipe bomb being found at that very strategic time by an undercover Capitol police officer, but both being discovered, the other one being behind a bar next to an apartment building and very close to the RNC, behind a trash can, found within minutes of each other? It strains credulity. And with having time, at least with the one in the park, I think it had 20, or with the DNC, had 20 minutes left on it. So, you know, if you're a police officer sitting in your vehicle, okay, and because here's the thing, the people in charge think you and I are stupid. Again, just you don't even have to watch Murder, She Wrote. All you have to do is employ some critical thinking skills, and you'll get this. It's that simple. This was a Fedsurrection, and every damn one of the police, the Capitol Police involved in this, the Metropolitan Police, the Secret Service, every damn one of you who were involved in this, the FBI, from Christopher friggin' Wray to whoever, shame on you, and I hope you burn in hell. Because not only did you steal an election and help steal the election, you ruined families. You're ruining a country, a republic, a nation. And you should be kissing the ass of this nation. And instead, you're crapping all over it. And shame on you. And here's the proof. Show this, and I'll narrate a little bit. Maybe we won't go through the whole thing. All right. Okay. I've seen this so much. This is at the DNC. The building on your right, and folks, if you're listening to this on whatever, go to Rumble Brighton. The building on your right is the DNC, where Kamala Kneepads Harris is reportedly, the VP-elect is there. Now, the man coming, sitting there in the driveway is a Capitol Police officer car and a Secret Service car. You see the guy over there? He goes to the driver's side window and casually says, "Hey, guess what? There's a bomb over there.
I found a bomb.
Now, apparently the guy was eating donuts in the front seat. So he goes around to the other side and says, "Hey, there's a bomb over there. I'm supposed to tell you that, by the way. There's a bomb over there." Now notice where the bomb is would be this. It would be on the very, very right side out of view, almost out of view of everything. Okay. Notice they make no, I mean, first of all, they're still sitting in their friggin' vehicles. Second of all, you've got pedestrian foot traffic walking next to this pipe bomb.
They probably just thought it was some crazy.
No.
You know there's some crazy walking around.
No, the guy that reported it was one of them. It was one of them. For the love of everything that's holy, understand this was a setup from the beginning. Darren Beatty, I love you, but you're being too easy on these pukes. All right. Wait a second. They're still sitting in the car. There's a pipe bomb over there. Oh, that they must be going to the Capitol. I don't know. Maybe the one that just went by.
They've got something else to do.
Yeah. Now, remember the certification or the objections of the certification. See, according to Darren Beatty, the pipe bombs were Plan B. In the event Plan A, Ray Epps, the Fed's direction didn't work, Plan B, drawing resources from the Capitol to...
Oh, they're getting out.
Oh, now they're getting out. Don't hurry on the bombs account. Okay, don't hurry. It's okay. Now, I guess, I don't know. After he brushes the donut crumbs off his uniform, he says, maybe I should go over and check this out. But first, I don't know. Maybe we should talk to the Secret Service. Maybe we should, do you think we should protect the knee pads Harris that's in there? Hey, Bubba. Let's go check this out. So you've got this other.
Let's leave our vehicle here where our firearms are and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We'll just take a stroll.
Yeah. So they leisurely walk over. And I don't know if this is the one that shows it where the cop takes a cell phone photograph of the bomb, gives a thumbs up, and then walks away. It was actually the guy, I think it was the guy that reported it, or the guy that reported it walks away. Okay, that's one thing I can tell you. So there's a coffee cup there, and you can actually see some of the bomb actually to the left of the bench facing out. But you got a scooter there, you got foot traffic, it's visible from everywhere. And, oh, yes, there is security presence at this building. Who happened not to see the bomb in plain sight for 17 hours? Oh, and here's the kicker. Freeze it. Okay. You have children walking within feet of this improvised explosive device. Children, which could detonate at any time, who knows? And they allow this? No one seems one bit concerned about this. I mean, do you see?
I'm laughing because I just remember that dude that wanted to fight me in DC.
out of nowhere.
Oh my gosh.
You can tell that story if you want.
I'm just standing on the sidewalk and some dude gets nose to nose with me and wants to fight me.
Well, that was corn pop.
I was literally 2 seconds away from going to prison.
Oh, it was, folks, you've got no idea what could have happened that day. And it took me a minute to realize what the hell was going on.
I freaking hate that place. Oh, my God.
It's a sewer.
I hate it.
D.C. is a city. I should announce this on Thursday because you liked Jamie Walden and Steve. They're going to be coming back on Thursday. But anyway, so look. You can cut it. Okay, Darren Beatty goes through this. But children walking within feet of a improvised explosive device, okay, and these fat idiots walking around saying, well, what should we do? So they either know about it, we're told to, hey, this is an inert device, or there's something else going on here. So, you know, people want to know why we call the January 6th hearings, and you can keep this rolling, okay? Because it is kind of telling.
The cop just took a picture.
Yeah, the cop took a picture.
There he is rolling down the road.
Okay, all right.
The bomb's over there. The bomb's 5 feet from us.
Yeah, hand me that donut.
Let's just hang out here.
So, see, this is... Oh. Now, how many minutes later? Maybe there might be some... the timelines at Revolver News. But look. Look, this is what the left, they don't want you to see. This is what Nancy Pelosi, they don't want you to see. Now, I got something else here. If you scroll down, let's see here. I'm trying to find there are several videos embedded in this article. Okay, if you can scroll down to the placement at 7:52 p.m. on the 5th of January. The placement of the bomb. If you can scroll down there, because I want to show you something. Wait a second. Is that the one? Or okay, if you scroll, down to the picture. Am I going too fast for you? Yeah, but scroll down even more if you can. Or I'm sorry, you probably have to back out of that. Scroll down to the picture that's right below, just so people have an idea. Yeah, the bomb. This is how out in the open this bomb was. And by the way, like it or not, Mr. Gorka, Sebastian Gorka, like it or not, the construction of this bomb meets the exact specifications for a training manual from the FBI that was published right before this.
Well, at least it was made in America.
Made in America. Okay. So, I'm trying to, so go above that. Let me see. Is that a video? No, it's not. Okay. So, if you can find the video of the bomb being placed, and it's on this. Let's see. Okay, you've seen it. Yeah, okay, that's fine. The bottom line here, well, actually, it's January. It's down there about 5, 6, 7 swipes. I don't know. But, folks, I'm going to say I believe this was not only an operative, a Fed operative, who, by the way, waved to a Secret Service vehicle or a Capitol Police vehicle, I'm not sure which, on the way to plant the bombs, actually waving to now you might say, well, that doesn't prove anything. When's the last time you're walking down the street and waved to a cop or Secret Service, Capitol Police, whatever? When's the last time you did that? Okay. An extended wave, like you know the people or they know you. No? Nobody? Oh, okay, maybe one person. But as a rule, nah, not so much.
I'd play this video, but the embed is horrible.
Yeah, never mind. The embedding on this is bad. If you go to revolver.net.
It's non-responsive.
Okay. So within the program description, I'll put in the Revolver article. Man, you got to read this. But so this person, who I believe is a female for reasons based on my own assessment, plants the bomb on the night of the 5th, lays the bomb down next to the bench, walks to, puts the bomb behind the RNC or next to
a bag of potting soil.
Yeah. A little fertilizer there. Anyway, so here's the point I'm making. Between the hours upon hours upon hours upon hours of footage from January 6th to this report, which, folks, it's got to be shown. It's got to be posted. This is not my investigative work. This is great investigative work by Darren Beatty, Revolver, and others. But this report has it all in one place. And I'm not going to painstakingly go through all of it. But this shows abso-flippin-lutely that the pipe bombs, that's fine. Okay. This is the person. Wow. How'd you do that? I don't know. This person is planting that bomb. This shows that this was a federal operation in my particular assessment. Because there's really no other explanation for it.
I can see women characteristics.
Can you?
Yeah, the way the person sits down.
Yes.
The stature of the person.
I've also seen soy boys do the same thing, but I digress. Okay. Yeah, I do believe this, in my personal opinion, professional opinion, I should say, is a female and perhaps a black female. Now, there's a $500,000 reward or something stupid for this, the identity of this person. Maybe I should pick up the phone and ask Christopher Ray about this. Okay, this is, again, you cannot understate the importance of this whole thing, of this whole event, in the context of January 6th. You know, you got a bunch of morons out there, from Mika Brzezinski, hey, my dad is Ziganu, to Joe, I got a dead intern in my office, Scarborough, Morning Joe and Mika, calling this the, you know, this is an insurrection. My God, Trump should be hung and pummeled and tarred and feathered, and MAGA people are pukes and so on and so forth. You get the idea, right? Well, show them this. Shove this down their gullets. Because I'll tell you something. The time. Oh, it was exquisite. The finding the exact moment they needed to be found. It was found. Both of them. Exact moment. And how? And the response by the police. Are you kidding me? Hey, Bubba, there's a group of school kids walking, going to walk by. Probably about 12 feet. You want to stop them? No, it's all right. It's all right. We know it's not. It's an inert device. It does have active. It was found to have, reportedly, found to have explosive material inside. But hey, don't worry about it. Well, why not? It's not going to go off. How do you know? You're asking too many questions. This, folks.
That looks like it could go off.
Doesn't it, though? But again, Jack Posobiec put up a thing on Twitter, X, whatever, a picture of the FBI training that showed the exact same timer, the exact same pipes, the exact same end caps as that bomb that was published within a month or so before that bomb was found in the FBI training materials. Now, Sebastian Gorka must have had a problem with that because he said, no, Jack, no. And, you know, frankly, look, I liked Sebastian Gorka. I met him in Washington. And yeah. But he's wrong on this. What happened on the 5th and 6th of January? exposing those events. From Ray, I'm not a Fed, Epps. Onward to these pipe bombs. You can see the coordination. You can see whether it's Epps. I'm sorry. Eric, did I tell you? I'm sorry. Did we tell you? Do you know that a lot of the evidence from the January 6th committee was destroyed before it could be turned over to the new Congress? Did you know
that? You don't say.
No, you know, it's the funniest damn thing. So you ask, okay, and for the lefties out there, from Midas friggin' touch, don't touch me, or Midas want to touch everyone, right?
I'm sure they're listening to you right now.
There. You're listening to me? There. Take that with you. Do I look like Angry Doug right now? I'm Angry Doug, because you're part of the friggin' problem. Midas touch. You're part of the problem, right wing watch. You're part of the problem. All of these leftists, communist bastards, every single one of them. Okay.
So put your keyboard down.
Give me my AR. Come on. Or my riot gun.
Little high noon action.
I'm going to take my Desert Eagle out there. Look, yeah, this is why you're not going to see my face for a month or so. I mean, you might see it. I don't know. It's why we need to do some things. People say, well, you know, hey, sit on your ass, talk about this, but don't do anything. Well, yeah, it's about time we start doing stuff, isn't it?
Mafia mentality. It's time.
We have to talk business. If you go to HagmanPI.com, well, do that, but wait a second here. I triaging this stuff is a little rough. All right. Eric the Tech just yawned. How much time have we got?
You got like 7 minutes.
All right. We can do this.
Okay. What was the Tisanis op all about?
Okay, thanks. That's where I was going with this. Let me pull this up. This I referenced the conservative treehouse Sundance. Now, I like his analyses, okay? Here is something, and I highlighted a couple of parts, but folks, it's at HagmanPI.com. The link to the article at the Conservative Treehouse with my comments and highlights. But here's the idea behind this. When did Ron DeSantis begin his campaign for running for president in 2024? I'm citing Sundance Conservative Treehouse. Ron DeSantis, 24, began long before people were paying attention. It started when the top echelon of the GOP uniparty saw candidate Donald Trump win the November 2016 election. So in January of 17, when the D.C. Stop Trump operation known as Trump Russia took on a new direction, the Republican apparatus was just as much in opposition to the Trump presidency as the Democratic wing. Now, I'm going to go down here a little bit. Given the elements of the Stop Trump effort, the House of Representatives was part of the overall Stop Trump design. House Speaker Paul Ryan didn't announce his retirement in 2018 ahead of the midterm accidentally. No, he made the announcement because he knew the Republican leadership's plan. Ron DeSantis left Congress along with Paul Ryan because Ron DeSantis was going to run for Florida governor as part of his career move. The people around DeSantis who supported his political career, which was Paul Ryan, George W. Bush, Jeb Bush, all the Bushes, they approved the approved Republican types, along with the Club for Growth, the David McIntosh group. They helped guide DeSantis with the proactive planning, and the run for governor in 18 was always done with the expectation and plan to run for the Republican presidential nomination in 2024.
Club for Growth.
Club for Growth. Can you feel
tweezers?
It? Tweezers. That's where I'm telling you, that's where my mind went.
What year did you go to the Club of Growth?
I'm a grower, not a shower.
I can't graduate.
Look, one of the key and important points in this is this. If you scroll down to right above right there. In December of 2021, a full 17 months prior to the May 2023 official announcement, the invitation to the, quote, conservative influencers was dispatched by DeSantis. Now, do you want me to talk to you about taps on the shoulder? Hey, you want to become involved in this or that to support DeSantis? This is back in 21. 17 months prior to the May 2023 official announcement. The invitation to the conservative influencers was dispatched. Christina Pushaw was now part of the DeSantis 24 operation. She organized a January 6, 2022 meeting, which is shown in that picture. If you scroll back up, it was shown in that picture. She organized that meeting of influencers and people on the circuit, so to speak.
Red Romper or the other one?
I'm not sure which. I think it's the other one. But anyway, the bottom line is this. This operation for DeSantis was organized by Never Trumpers. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now. Look, for all of the bad stuff with respect to Donald Trump, we're kind of stuck with that. Okay, so, but you tell me he wouldn't be an improvement over what we have. And you tell me he doesn't love our country. And I'll call you a flippin' liar. But the bottom line is this. The people behind DeSantis, as well as the people behind Nikki Haley, and I would dare say some of the people that were behind Vivek, are deep state plants. And yes, they tried to influence yours truly, as well as many and some successfully on the media, the so-called alternative media, but this venue in general.
Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
We know somebody.
We do know someone.
That knows the DeSantis family very well.
Yes, we do.
Very well.
Should we put a period right there? Because
I would.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason.
Just from a very reliable source.
Yeah. So, I guess the takeaway from all of this, whether it be the economy, because politicians are delusional, the politics. I mean, Joe Biden getting up there and saying, you know, guess everything's fine. Hey, not a joke. The Fed insurrection that really brought us to this point. Really, the most important stories of the day. And don't gloss over this. The most important stories of the day is January 6th, those pipe bombs in Darren Beatty's absolutely stellar investigative report. And I'll tell you this, I've got some stuff to offer as an investigative consultant on all of that. Thanks for tuning in. God bless you. Talk soon.